Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is January 23rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this video recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Okay, so a couple announcements. First off, we do have a premium installer class that is beginning on February 10th, the virtual part of that, that would put them on site in Michigan the first week of March. Love to have your – we've got a couple spots left for that. Also, we have a custom sales class coming up, and the virtual is on February 12th, and they would be on site for three days, the following Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So please let us know if you are interested in any of those. We'd love to have you. And then I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? So I have a question for you guys, and I don't know if anybody on this call has done anything like this or not, but I was researching plumbing sizes and flow rates the other day, and everything that I found, I was kind of surprised, a little bit astounded by the numbers that I found in the plumbing books. Do you guys know what kind of flow rates you get through three-quarter inch plumbing, you know, gallon per minute flow rate through three-quarter inch plumbing, or through one inch plumbing, or even inch and a quarter? Have you guys seen any charts like that?
I have. Anybody? I don't have them at the tip of my fingers, but I have done that type of research as well.
Were you surprised when you did that, Paul, at how low the rated flow rates were on that stuff?
At times, it's pretty amazing, really.
The one-inch plumbing was basically like 11 gallons a minute, is what they say. Even three-quarter inch, you can put more than that through them, but there's something called attrition, and it's if you put more water through them than the rated flow rate through them. And it was interesting. PEX and copper were pretty similar. You actually have a little bit less flow rate through PEX than you do copper, about 30%. But they were similar. It was kind of as interesting to me, the difference in or how low the flow was on the plumbing books, that on the stuff that I found. Now, I still am suspicious, I'm missing something because it just feels like I've seen, you know, more flow than that. But it was kind of interesting when you think about it. Like three-quarter inch was only like 6 gallons a minute is what the plumbing book said you should put through that. And that just doesn't seem right to me. But then I was thinking, it would be an interesting experiment if you have a softener that has, you know, that measures the gallons, where you turn it on and you can see how much water is flowing through. I've never done this, but I just think it would be an interesting experiment if somebody has three-quarter inch plumbing to turn every faucet in the house on and see how many gallons a minute it was rating, you know, registering, you know, to on the flow. But I thought that was kind of interesting when it came to, you know, these filters that require, you know, if you're putting the reason this came up is I was in Texas and I saw this huge house, this gigantic house, and they had a 16-inch tank, media tank. You know, a lot of times we've seen that before where companies they go bigger. You know, they think big house got to be a huge tank, a big tank in there. And they were having problems with the backwashing. And I went in and I looked at it, and it was only 1-inch plumbing running into this thing. And so I looked at the flow rates to see if it was capable of lifting up the media that was in there. And according to the charts, that's the problem they were having was that you didn't have enough flow through this 1-inch plumbing to lift the media in this 16-inch, which is a 4-cubic-foot tank. And so I started delving in and looking at what the flow rates were, and it was kind of interesting. But I think it would be interesting to turn – has anybody ever done that, turned every faucet in the house on and to see what the system measured? Has anybody ever done that? Like how many gallons a minute it was registering through? Most digital units these days have that ability, and to see what the gallons, what the flow is.
Hey, Kelly, this is Brogan.
Hey.
I have done that at a house up here in Park City, Utah. So we had to disinfect the whole entire house. So we did a hydrogen peroxide injection and all that. And during that process, I had every faucet turned on, a rainfall shower, bathtub, sinks, three-quarter inch copper. And I was getting about 11.5 gallons per minute through the water softener, and it was
right
red from the meter of the control valve.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So 11, 12 gallons a minute. That's, I think, a little more what I would expect. Now, did you notice a pressure drop in your faucets when you did that, Brogan? Like, because I was thinking, you know, maybe you have, you know, even if you did that, like if you took a water hose and you split it, you're going to have less pressure coming out of the two hoses that you split. You know, like if you ran off of one hose bib and ran two hoses off one hose bib, you'd have lower pressure on that than you did just running one hose. But probably the same amount of water, you know, so gallons per minute and pressure are different, right? Flow and pressure are different. But I wonder, did you notice any like lower pressure when you did that in each faucet?
Big time. Yeah. Especially on the upper levels farthest away from
from
the main water supply.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I want to delve more into that. If anybody, you know, has those resources or sees that, I think that would be really interesting to look more into. But anyway, anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic today? So this comes to us from Scott from Alabama, this topic, who Scott, I really appreciate when you come up with these ideas because it keeps me from having to do it. So it's I thank you very much, and I welcome anybody. If you guys have a topic you want to talk about, please throw it out there. That's it's kind of a challenge sometimes to come up with, you know, what are we going to talk about, and, you know, how are we going to do this. But Scott suggested we talk about scripts, and we have talked about this before, but I thought it was interesting last week on the pre-call, you know, which is the conversation we have before the call. Scott, you said to me, you know, Kelly, I know you're not a big fan of scripts, but you know, sometimes we need them, you know, and I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but let me start this by saying I have made reference to scripts before, and I wanted, when I talk about scripts, what we're talking about are a scripted language for doing your presentation, for doing the water demonstrations, for doing the sales presentation, for doing all of that stuff. What I am not a fan of is the people who memorize those scripts, or the companies who, you know, ask their people to memorize those scripts and who encourage those people to stay with that script and not deviate from that script at all. Because what I think ends up happening when that happens is that you have somebody that is just going by the script who doesn't really understand at the core what they're saying in the script. And so I've always found it super easy to sell against those people because it's not customer centric. It's like they have to get through their script and repeat that script. However, I am a fan. I have a bunch of scripts written, and you know, for different tests and what you should say and you know how you say it and stuff like that. And what I am a fan of is memorizing that script, learning that script, but then being able to go off the script. And so I mean, in the thousands of sales presentations I have done, I bet I have said the same things, including the same jokes, in you know, each presentation, or at least portions of it. I say the same thing when I'm describing water hardness. I say the same thing when I'm doing the soap flask demo or the tea demo. You know, I have found a script or a way of saying it basically the exact same time. But it's sort of like when you have a, you know, an installer or a service technician has a van full of tools. And, you know, when they go to the house, they don't take every tool in that van into the house to do the service call. They, you know, they usually take a bag that has a few tools that they use 90% of the time on that service call. But then when they get down to the unit and they see that maybe they need a tool that they didn't have in that bag, they go back to the van and they grab that tool. That tool that they grab, they might only use, you know, five times a year, you know, five different service calls. But they know how to use every tool on the van. And that's kind of the way that I view the scripts. I do think that it's really super important to learn the scripts, to understand it, to know, not only to learn them, not only to repeat the words, but to really know what you're saying, what you're doing, and then be able to call upon them as necessary. The other thing that I want to open this up for discussion, because this is one man's opinion. Okay, so please, as I'm speaking and saying this, don't think that I don't realize or believe that there are other ways of doing this that make more sense, or maybe that I, you know, that I haven't done. But the other thing that concerns me sometimes when you teach somebody to memorize that script and you make them do it that way, is that it tends to start with, they almost all start with the water softener. Now, they do, the one thing about the script is they do talk about both the softener and the reverse osmosis, right? They, it does talk about total water management, and those companies that have the scripts, they do tend to have a pretty good system sales percentage, meaning that they sell a lot more systems, you know, softeners and ROs, because they don't differentiate between one or the other. It's all the same system. It's one system. And I think that's really valuable to look at it that way. But there are people out there who are only interested, or who are more interested in buying a water softener and not a drinking water system, or a drinking water system and not a water softener. And I tend to ask the question, you know, you've got the water that goes on you and the water that goes in you, and I sort of break that down and explain what they are, and then I say which is a higher priority to you. If a customer says the water that goes in them is the highest priority to them, and then I spend 75% of my sales presentation repeating a script about the water that goes on them, it's not a very customer-centric presentation. They haven't really – you know, it's like, what's your favorite color? Blue? Okay, let's talk about this yellow thing. You know, and it's like not listening to them. And the scripts don't allow for you to adjust the order that you do things. You know, if somebody has only memorized the script, then it's hard for them to go to do that, to talk about that script out of order, you know, to take a section of it in this order or that order. And so I've found or seen that it is more difficult for that salesperson to have a customer-centric presentation. I tend to, if I have a script at all, it's in the questions that I ask. You know, it's asking the same questions to get an answer, and then basing my recommendations, which are, my recommendations definitely tend to be scripted. You know, they, but it's based on what they, you know, the answers that they have, that they've given to the questions. So that's my take on scripts. Scott, what's your take on it? You know, this was kind of your idea. I mean, what is your, what's your view?
Well, this is like very passionate to me, because I have not been in the industry. So coming up in March, I'll be in the industry for 8 years. And I struggled mightily when I first got in with the script, because went in and, you know, the, when you first get into this, in terms like hydrologic water cycle, reverse osmosis, membrane, ion exchange resin, I felt like I was saying, like, you know, left-handed purple wrenches. I just did not understand what I was saying. And I struggled in the very beginning. And I actually found MotoVitality, this hot, this conference call every week, and it helped me to actually understand what I was saying, and it helped me with my word tracks. And I've actually tailored my script over the years by understanding exactly what I'm saying. So in the beginning, especially for somebody that's new to the industry, and that's really what I wanted to like talk about. When you have a script, like most of the time, it has been blood, sweat, and tears. If you say it in this order and do this in the beginning, you'll sell, even if you don't know what you're talking about. However, you have to learn that script up, down, left, right, backwards and forwards, in your own words, in the beginning. And you need to, one of the things that you struggle with of saying things with confidence is if you don't know what you're talking about, you can't say it with confidence. So on those parts of the script where you go into and you don't know exactly what you're saying, you need to ask questions from either your trainer, some of the other people that you work for, do independent research, or use resources like this so you can actually understand what you're talking about. Then it makes a lot more sense. When you first start with a script, you're unconscious, you're consciously incompetent. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the order. You don't know that. But as you learn it, and if you can learn it in your own words, like you could say it backwards if you wanted to, then you're unconsciously competent, that you know it, you know what to say. And then once you do your research and you really understand what you're talking about, then the most important thing is going in and asking the questions up front of what is important to them. Then you can tailor your presentation so you can solve the problems they have. However, with us, the real value comes in either doing reverse osmosis or carbon filtration or a water softener, is not only solving the problems that you have, but also uncovering the things that they didn't know, solving problems that they didn't know that they would, and that's really where it provides the value. Because somebody might be having a problem with a water heater, but, you know, they're not going to strike a $5,000 check to protect their water heater. However, if they can protect their water heater and also reduce the amounts of soaps and detergents, not buy bottled water, cleaner clothes, softer skin, you have to build the value to be able to have the right to give a recommendation on equipment. But you have to know that script, and you have to know the word tracks, and you do have to know, like, what is involved in all of these different things that are built into the script That way, when you relay the information and you solve that customer's problem, you sound like you know what you're talking about because you've done the work and you do.
Yeah. No, I think I agree with everything you're saying there. I think that's kind of the point. And that's the difference in a professional, right, is somebody who looks at those words and that they don't understand the meanings of. Unfortunately, sometimes salespeople in this industry, you know, there's a difference. We've talked about this between salespeople and sales professionals, right? And salespeople, they just stop it. They tend to stop at memorizing the words. And not going further and taking pieces of it and really trying to understand it like you're describing. So I think you're absolutely right on that. I think you're definitely right. Paul, when you have salespeople, do you mind if I ask what do you guys use a script? What's your take on scripts and, you know, and with salespeople out there from a management standpoint?
A script will keep you on track if you get lost. My guys have been doing this for a pretty long time and can talk about the effects of hard water and the benefits of soft water. So we don't have any scripts per se for anybody currently that is in place with our company. I'm not opposed for an educational purpose to keep them on track. But I certainly don't want them, you know, reading from a script. I want them to come to the conclusion that they understand the process and being able to explain. Every scenario is different. You need to be a chameleon to the environment when you're walking into the home and talking to a customer. One line does not fit all, is our opinion.
So, have any of you ever done – I actually had a call this last week from somebody asking me if I had knew where they could find – remember those – has anybody done this long enough to remember the – they used to call them pitch books, which I hate that term because, you know, pitch, like nobody wants to be pitched, right? That's a sales term, you know. But like the presentation books, you know, where you – it's a three-ring binder and you have the laminated pages – you know, and you just flip through and you, has anybody been in the industry long enough to remember those or to sell that way? I remember that's what they handed me when I came into sales was I had that three ring binder and that book that you just, and you're supposed to sit them down at the kitchen table and just walk through that thing using that book page by page by page by page, just going, you know, going through every step. And it does keep you on track, like you're talking about, Paul, but I just if you're observant and perceptive of the customers, you start to pull that thing out and they get this look of like they see how thick that book is and like I don't want to, you know, we did progress to the digital presentation, which was a laptop. The company that I was with had a digital presentation that was a little nicer because you could, it was more easy to customize it, and you could skip through it as you needed to, you know, to the pages that you talked about and stuff. But did anybody ever sold with those or used those?
I've seen them.
Yeah. It's remember. So
just a little input. You know, we're using the Lamont spin tester instead of the drops.
Yeah,
the customers are extremely impressed with that technology.
Yeah.
And you're going through a process with that, filling that disc up with that little syringe and talking and ooh, what's this going to do? You know, it's like a small center.
Now, are you guys, Paul, are you guys, one of the downsides to that machine is that a lot of times people don't do like the soap flask or the tea demo or, you know, some of the demonstrations or the, you know, even aspirin. You know, are they doing any of the demonstrations or are they just skipping that stuff entirely and just explaining it?
We're doing that. We're not shaking bottles. We are doing ice cube tests. We are doing tea tests.
Yeah.
The T-test and the ice cube test are pretty cool.
Yeah, that T-demo is, that thing will sell ROs big time, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing, simple little test to have with you. Certain type of tea mm-hmm. you want to have on board, but it's an amazing test that has worked wonders for us.
So you guys, do they have a backup test kit? Do they carry a mini water softener with them?
Yeah, you're gonna run into a technical issue every once in a while. We need to make sure that we're updating them, getting the latest firmware on those tests.
Yeah.
Devices. But it's different compared to what my competition is using.
Yeah.
And customers are very intrigued about it.
Yeah, I found that to be the case with that too.
It's within, we're within, 5%, we believe, plus or minus 5% on these readings. So, when you get a nitrate level that's elevated, and our opinion on nitrates is anything above one, you should be doing something about no matter what,
It
is the MCL, but something's going on there,
Yeah. Nitrates is one on that test that I've always seen. It always reads high.
I have compared it with some of our laboratories in town that are certified laboratories.
Yeah.
And we've had, 5.
Pretty accurate, huh?
Yeah. With plus or minus 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus or minus 5 ppm, plus or minus 5%.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it really is kind of cool. Customers do, and they are a little relieved sometimes when you're doing that. But that goes the opposite. You have the tendency to go the opposite direction with that one, is that you're not giving, sometimes, and it sounds like your guys are, but sometimes when people use that test, they're not giving enough information. Because Scott was saying, you definitely have to go in. Brogan, what do you guys do? Do you guys use scripts, or what do you do?
So Kelly, I'm kind of a selling tech, not just a straight salesman. So a lot of the cases that I go into, it's, hey, your equipment's outdated, needs to be updated. Stuff like that. But I found that it's really hard for me to follow a script because I've been in the industry 2 years, but I've taken a lot of WKA courses, and I study almost every day, every night. So I'm learning really fast. But what I found is that if I try to follow a script, then I serve clients more with like cookie cutter systems, as opposed to finding out their needs, their wants, and then creating needs and wants that they didn't even know. So what I specialize in is basically setting people up with customized systems, as opposed to following a script and just selling like, hey, we offer 3 softeners or a whole house filtration system and an RO. I really dive in deep to what their water quality goals are. And a lot of the times when I ask people, what are your water quality goals? They've never even thought about that before. And that just opens up a huge conversation to customizable systems. And we offer more things. I don't really see where a script really fits into the way I approach customers. So.
Yeah. But yet, in a way, I think you're kind of like I am a little bit there, Brogan, where, you are asking the same questions usually, right? So in a way, your questions are your script. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of the way I feel about it, too. It's like when you think about it, you are saying the same things in every presentation. It's just, whether they're the order that you're saying them or how you're asking the questions. So any final thoughts or comments on this topic before we go? Scott, did this satisfy what you were wanting to discuss?
It does. And I think it really depends on the market that you're in. Because I know, like, when you get into the Midwest, especially Kelly, where you and Paul are, it's as common to have a water softener there as to have a water heater. In the market that we're in, it is not as common, so we have to do a lot more education about the benefits of salt water, and reverse osmosis. So I think it really depends on the market that you're in. But I would challenge you that even if you're in a market to where you're, you know, you got 36 grains of hardness, and you're just going in and you're like, oh, okay, well, here's the equipment, here's the price, this is why our equipment's better than their equipment. You're really doing a disservice to them.
Yeah.
If you don't address really what they're looking for, but also mm-hmm. let them know all the other features and benefits that they'll get with the water. And I promise you, if you do that, your competition won't see you coming, because I can't tell you how many times that I've had somebody move from out of state to here in Alabama, and they're looking for a water softener because they had one before. They bought it for one specific reason, but they had no idea about all the other benefits, like with soap and why it felt different when they did it. So don't just sell on equipment, like sell on benefits, and you will see a big difference in your close ratio.
I think that's a really good point. And that's, yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying about, you know, not, you know, giving enough information. That's kind of the thing. You're right. Absolutely. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that follow-up. Also, what you said about this call earlier, I meant to say thank you on that too, that it's helped you. That means a lot. I appreciate that as well. With that, you guys, it is I look forward to these every week. Thank you very much. It's awesome. I will talk to you guys next week, if not before. So have a great week and weekend. Stay warm.
Stay warm, everybody.